Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 11th of July, year 2018. I am your host and chairman for this meeting, Commander and Pastor Dan. The agenda for today's call is the Hammonds being released. Field McConnell's wife has been cleared to come into the United States, current events, and a portion will be for an open forum. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do welcome callers during the conference call, of course. If you're using a phone, you would press *6 to let me know that you want to ask a question. And if you're on a computer, you would use the Q&A button, which stands for questions and answers. And that will put you in the queue. And in this mode, we can only take one person at a time. So please bear that in mind. Also, if we have numerous people trying to call in, try to keep your comments and questions as short as possible. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I want to remind you about the website, PastorDan.net. Again, we put the scheduling information up there, and we also put the hottest news, since we're still having a lot of trouble with email bouncing back. We also give thanks to our listeners and supporters who are out there. Because of your efforts, we're able to do this, and it's greatly appreciated. And a special hats off to the two gentlemen, one from Miami, one from Minnesota, who have made it possible for the command center, is what I call it, with the triple monitor set up. Three very nice 24-inch monitors make what I do a whole lot simpler. A caveat, we have a thunderstorm in the area, so if I am dropping off or if there's any kind of a glitch in the program tonight, please bear that in mind. It's a thunderstorm. It just started rolling in as we came to the beginning of the program, and so I don't know if it's going to intensify any worse or not, but bear that in mind. Ezekiel 25:14, and I will lay vengeance upon Edom. Now, we all know who Edom Esau is. The Jewish Encyclopedia verifies that modern-day Jews are Edom Esau by their own admission. We also know what Obadiah verse 18 has to say about Edom Esau. So here in Ezekiel chapter 25, our Father is telling us, I will lay my vengeance upon Esau by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel. Now, your Bible probably just says, by my people Israel. That's a people, not a country. That's how the Jews get away with what they committing murder against the Palestinians and all the espionage and crimes that they've committed in the United States and virtually every other white nation. Because white people, for some strange reason, they believe they're lying preachers when they tell them that the Israel mentioned here is that country and those Jews who have illegally occupied Palestinian land for all this time, and somehow they're the people of the Bible when they are not. So again, Ezekiel tells us here, I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Jacob Israel, and they shall do in Edom. Now, here they represents us, the Caucasian Israelites. So, and the Caucasian Israelites shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh. How about that? Where's all the pacifism? You know, the modern-day church world is telling us all to be pacifists, just sit back, relax, you know, God will take care of it. You're not supposed to be involved in politics and all this other hogwash. And yet right here, Ezekiel's telling us quite clearly that Father's got revenge. So we got both Ezekiel and Obadiah. So that's a double witness. Two prophets telling us that Yahweh intends at some point to execute his vengeance against these criminals called Edom, Esau, which today are known as Jews. The false Jews, the Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 Jews, the pretenders, the great pretenders. I often think of that when the song, The Great Pretenders, is being sung. Who are the greatest pretenders ever to walk the earth? Jews, that's who. Pretending to be philanthropists when they are doing everything they can to destroy Mother Earth and the people on it. And we've spent almost 19 years now talking about that. It's been quite a ride, and the rain is pouring. So, also, quick announcement. Tomorrow, there's going to be a special broadcast at 2 p.m. right here on the conference call, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Lawrence Blanchard will be my guest, and we will talk about his book that he wrote years ago called Did All Races Come from Adam? We will discuss some of his other books and what he's been doing in all the years since he was last on my program as a guest, and that will be quite entertaining. So anybody out there that's available at 2 p.m. tomorrow, do call in and join us live. Dr. Blanchard said he would be glad to field any kind of calls or questions you might have. That should be quite interesting. It will be recorded and archived, so if you can't make it, you can catch it later. Also, Dr. Arden Gifford has contacted me, and we will be doing another broadcast in the very near future. Some important information in the area of the medical mafia is coming out. Apparently, Yahweh is starting to expose criminality and liars in every aspect lately, and so that should be quite an eye-opener as well. The truth about vaccines, the truth about the chemicals and dyes and many of the other things that we've been screaming about for many years on the program, and other media, of course, but we've been doing it for a very long time. Now it's becoming, in the alt media, mainstream. So when I say mainstream, I'm talking about alt media, because what used to be called mainstream is a loser fake news organization where they couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their heads. I was also contacted, or I should say spoke with Pastor Greg Howard just the other day. We had a great chat, and he has agreed to... Whoa, that was close. He has agreed to come on as a guest in the very near future. So, Pastor Greg Howard, I will try to put out a notification about that, and also check the website, PastorDan.net, for that interview. That'll be coming up very, very soon. And there'll be some others, too, but those are the three interviews that will be coming here very, very, very soon. Lightning is striking very close to here, so again... if anything happens, that's probably what's going on. The latest news, of course, is President Trump nominating this Kavanaugh character, Brett Kavanaugh, 50-some-year-old deep stater, part of the senior executive services, as is his mother, interestingly enough. So Kavanaugh is not out of the swamp. He is part of the swamp. So whether that was a forced nomination on Trump by the powers that be, or if he's up to something, I don't know, but he is definitely Catholic, and so the Catholics and Jews will retain control over our Protestant nation's Supreme Court. Now, isn't that an irony? We are a Protestant nation. When I was a boy, you heard the term WASP all the time, W-A-S-P, white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That's who founded these United States. Colonies that were united as states were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. That is irrefutable. Whether you like hearing it or not, doesn't make any difference. It's irrefutable. And yet, our highest court, or at least our highest appellate court, has Jews and Catholics only on it. There's not one representation for us. Just like in Congress today, how many white Anglo-Saxon Protestant straight men do you see making any decisions on how to govern our nation? I'd say they're outlaws. That's what it sounds like to me. Thomas Jefferson said it in his own words, but he was basically saying that when you reach a state like we have in this country today, disobedience is not only a right, it's a requirement. Or as some of the founding fathers used to say, civil disobedience is obedience to God. Remember, the Bible clearly states that the only legitimate government is those that implement God's law. That's the only legitimate government for a believer. And yet we have just the opposite. We've got Satanists running the show these days. We got a caller here. Let me go grab this call. Phil, welcome to the program, buddy. Can you hear me? You might have your mic muted. Can't hear you, Phil. Let me turn up my headsets here. I'm still not hearing anything, buddy. Hello? Hello? Check your mic. I don't... on the board, you're on, Phil. So it's got to be at your end, buddy. Also, anybody out there listening, if you could send me something in the chat window or on my cell as to sound quality. Always like to keep an eye on that. Still can't hear anything, Phil. I'll go ahead and leave you unmuted, and if you ever do get it figured out, you'll be set to go. Just jump in whenever. So anyway, civil disobedience and disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. Our founding fathers said that. I'm getting a comment here. Sound is geary. What's that mean? Oh, great. Yeah, I must have voice recognition software that's not quite aligned right. Okay, so its sound is great. Okay, very good. That's definitely what we want to hear. Also, the I just saw something come up earlier about the term Baal. We always have the name of our Heavenly Father is in controversy. There are those who like to be Pharisees and beat our brothers and sisters up, saying when they use the term Lord, they're calling our Heavenly Father Baal, or we call it Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal, but it's actually pronounced in the Hebrew as Baal. So, again, like so many words, and some of the YouTubers that put this stuff out will tell you that it's depends on context, okay? Like so many things, it's context. You don't just take a word, even in English today. It's how it's used as a context. For instance, in the garden, when it says Eve was talking to a serpent, all right? Well, serpent can be the creature on the ground that slithers, or it can be a man with very bad morals and very bad character. You could say snake is the same thing. Well, the Hebrew term nakash was exactly the same thing. It could refer to either a snake on the ground or a man with very bad character and bad traits, a deceiver, a sorcerer, an enchanter. All those terms are wrapped up into that one Hebrew term, and that's who Eve was persuaded to commit the sexual sin which brought about Cain. So now Baal or Baal in the Hebrew means Lord in many senses, like a master, a supervisor, and it's typically has the preposition in front of it, just as in the Greek language. If it's talking about the master, meaning our Heavenly Father, it'll have ha in front of it. Okay, and same thing in Greek. So it'll have that on there. Okay, hold on a minute. Phil, are you... Try it again, Phil. Maybe... hold on a minute here. Gosh darn it. Let's see. Yeah, we have quite a storm coming in here. Hold on. Checking my levels here to make sure we're okay. According to this, everything on my end is okay, Phil. I don't understand why I can't hear you. I've got my speakers turned up. Can you say something so I can see if the meter shows up anything here, Phil? I don't know, make noise, hit your mic, scream, yell, rant, rave, whatever you want to do. But I'm not registering anything, so. Okay. So again, the term Baal has all these different meanings, again, depending on the context. Now, Baal was a supreme male divinity to the Phoenicians and the Canaanites, pagans, so keep that in mind as well. I just heard some rattling. Phil, is that you? All right, that's bizarre. Maybe the storm's doing something here. I don't know. Now, in light of what we're just talking about here, consider what Yahweh.
Hello?
All right. Now I'm hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can. It's kind of scratchy. You got a lot of static or something on the line, but I can hear you. You got a bad connection? Okay, now it's just noise. Hello? Yeah, it sounds like you're fumbling with some kind of a cord or connection or something, so it's like making and breaking connection. That's what it sounds like, anyway.
Set.
Would you get a new headset or something?
Yeah, I got a new headset. Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can, yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, I had a headset on there. So you can hear me now, okay?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was like, what the heck did I just do? I don't know, my headset had knocked off the speaker or what. So you're very, very good points about the Catholic Church. You know, the Catholic Church is doing everything to make people hate it beyond belief. And I've been told that one of the reasons why the entity wanted to destroy the Germans so badly was because it was an attempt to destroy any vestige of what you would call Protestant Europe, and because the Third Reich had kept the racial identity of the racial truth of Scripture, and they rejected the universalism of the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is embracing everything insane that it's taking the great, you know, what Jews do. It's taking the grace of Christ and turning it into a hideous like poison that allows it to do every horrible thing it can imagine. And if I was the devil, that's exactly what I would, that's exactly what I would do. And people in Europe are fleeing from it. And I also would like to point out too that we talk about these, you know, the monarch, you know, the Royal House of England, you know, but what we really need to understand here is that those people, whatever you want to call them, however you want to refer to them as, you can call them Jews, you can call it, you know, there might be some legitimate ones among them, and I think there are, but the truth of the matter is that the crown is not owned by the queen or anybody else. It's owned by the people, and it always has been, it always will be. They are a servant of the people, and because our constitution is based upon the Magna Carta, and the Magna Carta clearly points, you know, is the greatest document based upon biblical law in the history of England, and our constitution is based upon that. And the queen is a servant of the crown. She doesn't own anything, you know, and in fact she gets a salary. She gets a pretty darn good salary. But she can't do things that, you know, anything she wants to do. She can't sell Windsor Castle. She doesn't own the crown jewels. She does what she's told to do as much as what she has, you know, what she wants to do. So it's what's happening now is everything, you know, if you wanted to unify the white race, in a way that's beyond any unification that ever has been, what they're doing in Europe is exactly what we want to happen in many ways, because it's waking us up to our identity. It's what it tells us about in Revelation, that it's our skin, it's what we're born with, it's our racial identity that will be our armor against the enemy, and that this is something that we need to realize, and because this is exactly what I would, you know, this is what I would do, because they're destroying all vestiges of the institutions of Europe, and when Europe was at its height, it had monarchies. If you remember your English history, and most people don't, the last monarch of Anglo-Saxon England was Harold Godwinson, and we recently had this wedding with Prince Harry, and he married this Jewess, this half Negro Jewess, and I was at the grocery store, I remember, just before the wedding, and they had one of these tabloids I was looking at, and I just saw the headline, and here she was. Walking along, walking in a blue dress, just like Monica Lewinsky, okay, just like that, and she's looking back at the camera with this kind of seductive picture of her smiling back at the camera, and the headline was, she said, "I'm going to get harried tomorrow," okay, and everywhere you go, you see Prince Harry, a red-haired guy, okay, you know, Esau Edom, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's marrying a black Jewess, okay, mm-hmm. And right in your face, okay. It's as obvious as it gets. And in 1066, the big turnaround, you had the biggest event in English history. You had Harold Godwinson, and you had Harold Hardrada, who was in Norway, who tried to take over, who wanted to conquer England. And he failed. He was defeated in battle, and then Harold Godwinson had to march quite a number of miles, like 85 miles, something like this, quite a number of miles, in order to face William of Normandy. And William was called the Bastard at the time, and he was seen as an illegitimate king and wanted to make a name for himself, and he came up with this false notion that he was a rightful heir to the crown in Britain, and he invaded, and of course at Hastings, Harold had his eye shot, you know, had an arrow stick in his eye, and he was killed in the battle, and it took a while, but William finally was able to, you know, the battle lasted all day, and it took a long time for William to actually seize and control the country. People think that it was all over right away, and it was not. It took a long time to do that, many, many years, actually. But he was now called William the Conqueror rather than William the Bastard. And now we have a Harold, red-haired, marrying a negress, you know, and the whole symbolism, in-your-face, anti-white movement, it's so blatant. And if you don't see it, you're blind to it, or you don't care. And that you're living in a delusional world.
Well, it's the dragon that Scripture talks about coming after the children of the woman, which is representative of us, the Caucasian Israelites. And the dragon, of course, is adversaries, and the Jews are the greatest adversary of all mankind, not just the white race, but all mankind, and they are leading other races to fall into this flooding and annihilation of whites, and they're going along with it, but I got news for them. It's not going to be so pleasant for them in the near future, because the white race is about ready to rise up and say no more. So, you know, they can enjoy it now. The Jews and their shekels mean something, but in the near future, the Jews' shekels are not going to mean anything, and they're going to be stripped of their power. And then these other races that have been going along with the Jew are going to be standing there naked also, because now the Jew and their media control and their money control aren't going to be there to save their sorry asses. And then they're going to have to deal with our military. Our military, not the world's military, but our men, as they rise up, realizing what these people have done to our children, our wives, and trying to do to our race. It's coming out everywhere, Phil. I mean, I'm reading comment after comment after comment on different channels, whether it's BitChute or Steemit or YouTube. People are figuring the Jews out. They're figuring out this whole plan of white genocide. There was a couple articles that doctors sent out today about supposedly even the Center for Disease Control has admitted that vaccines are the contaminants in vaccines are attributed to ailments such as cancer. So, you know, I think it's great. Father is opening a lot of the things that have been buried are becoming known, and people are waking up. It may not be everybody, but there's a significant number of people who are starting to wake up, and that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I agree with that. They had an excellent article on Andy Hitchcock had a show with a lady on exposing the plan for the white genocide with the Kalergi plan, and he basically his whole show was that YouTube thing of this lady that gave an outstanding expose of what it is and how it works, and you can see it everywhere, and the utter hypocrisy. I mean Israel can't do a damn thing without us, and we're allowing, you know, and remember that the German military or the German government never surrendered. Only the military did. It only capitulated. And we are simply in the phase that middle phase between, you know, we had the 20s, you know, and we had the middle phase between World War I and World War II. Now we're going to have the middle phase between the end of World War II and World War III. And World War III is going to be the war to end all wars. That's the real war to end all wars. And when that happens, it's building, you know, monumentally. And I'm very happy to see that. It pisses me off what's happening, but it's to his glory that our race is prioritizing itself. It's realizing what's really important, and it's one of the things that I find that's very, you know, that I feel I have an appreciation for when it comes to this communist BS that's been thrust down our throat, is that we realize that our race is able to our race embraced it to the extent because we understood from a deeply spiritual standpoint that material possessions are not important. You know, it's what's right and wrong, and that's a good thing. It's also it also has gotten us into some serious trouble. So, and then being exploited by the enemy.
Right.
So,
the white race is the loving, caring, sharing people. That's the attributes of a true son of Yahweh. The Israelites were known for that. The white race has been known for that throughout history. You know, and a lot of times when they say whites did something wrong in history, such as bringing the blacks over on the ships, from Africa to North America, we get the blame for that, but those were actually Jews. That's a matter mm-hmm. of record. They have it archived in the records in England. The ship owners and the captains typically were Jews. Certainly the ship owners, for the most part, were Jews, and a lot of the captains were Jews. They may have hired an Anglo here and there to captain because they didn't have enough Jews that knew how to sail a ship. But the point of it is we get the blame for it, just like the contaminated blankets given to the Indians to kill them. Well, who do you think did that? A white guy or mm-hmm. a Jew? Okay, again, judge them by their fruits. Who has the fruit in the past of doing those kind of things? I mean, the Bible talks about it. Christ himself condemned them for that kind of behavior. And then you go down through history and you start digging, just like who were the greatest spies in the United States? Okay, the Rosenbergs, Pollard, there's several other there that did the greatest damage stealing the secrets of our military and government and selling them to the communists. Every one of them was a Jew, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people are finally starting to wake up that you got to put the pieces together. Just because they look like sheep, even Christ warned us, they're sheep, but there's wolves who dress like sheep. On the outside, they look like us, but on the inside, they're a completely different creature. I just got the book on the Black Plague. We're told that the Black Plague was caused by mice and lice and diseased animals, when in fact, the author of this book goes back into the archives of all of the major cities of Europe of that time and their communications with each other as they discovered the bags of poison that had been put into the wells and the sources of water for the cities and large towns that caused the deaths and traced it back to Jews. And many of them were mm-hmm. put on trial, and some were burned at the stake, some were hung, all because that's who did it. And like I said, there's a whole book on it. When I get finished with it, I'm going to do a video and a book report on it so people can get the thumbnail version of it, because so many people don't have time to read a whole book anymore. But it's just amazing me, the information that's coming out and exposing these criminals that have operated with basically carte blanche because they controlled the media. And with their shekels, mm-hmm. they controlled our government, and so their crimes were covered up. And Yahweh's exposing them right now, big time. He's exposing mm-hmm. all the criminality. So I was just going to talk about it. Maybe you heard about it too, that the Trump just pardoned the Hammonds, the two Hammond guys, in that was in the first standoff out west with the ranchers. The Bundys were later, and the Hammonds were first, if I remember right. And so these guys actually served time in jail, and then the government, after they got done, the government went in and said, no, that wasn't enough time. I mean, how the hell do they get away with this stuff? And then Trump just pardoned them. So those individuals now, all the ranchers, as far as I know, are freed. Praise Yahweh for that. And also today I just found out that Trump has cleared the way for Field McConnell's wife to come to the United States. He's over in England right now. And he has the YouTube channel Able Danger, and he has been exposing a lot of criminality out of Washington, D.C. He's mm-hmm. highly connected. In fact, his sister is the one who set up the Senior Executive Service, the secret army of mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., the deep state executives that are like 8,000 of them, highly paid, underqualified, can hardly be touched. They're basically the army of bureaucrats that are leading and destroying this country. Well, Field McConnell's sister is the one that set that all up, and he has denounced her as a traitor to the United States. So that's significant, the fact that the Hammonds, first the Bundys, now the Hammonds have been released, and Field McConnell's wife has been granted the ability to come here, which means he can come back to his home country now and do work here. And this is where the fight is. I got a lot of patriots out there, a lot of vets talking to me about going to other countries and all that. But the fight's here, guys. The New Jerusalem's here. the fight's here. Running away from the fight isn't going to solve a damn thing. We got to end this now. We end it here. We end it here. Don't be looking for other people to end it. We end it here. So those are pretty significant pluses. And the people that are outing this Kavanaugh for his connections to the Roman Catholic whore called the Roman Catholic Church, you know, it was funny. Somebody made a comment in one of the channels about that, and somebody wrote back, well, of course Catholics are Christians. They don't seem to understand. They don't get the big picture. It's just like Freemasons. At the lower level, they think it's just like a fraternity. They don't understand the corruption that's at the top of the Freemasons, the same way that the average Catholic is ignorant beyond belief of the criminality of the Vatican. The top layers of the Catholic Church is criminal beyond belief. And besides that, I don't know how somebody can call themselves a believer in Christ and belong to that church, because there's nothing in the Catholic Church that represents Christ. Christ didn't wear fancy clothes. Christ didn't have buckets full of gold and jewelry and artwork buried in the basement of the Vatican. Christ never made anybody bow down and kiss a great big old ring on his finger. I mean, Christ never told men and women not to marry. That's a God-ordained institution for men and women to procreate and be together, and the Catholic Church says, well, you can't serve God and be married. That's completely counter to what the scriptures say. How can people be belong to that? How can you, I used to argue with a guy named Alfio back in Ohio many years ago. He was a staunch Catholic, not because he attended the church, but because his family was. He came from Sicily. And I used to argue with him all the time, and he would admit that the Catholic Church is full of all kinds of errors and have done all these wrong things. So I would ask him after hours of debating with him, I said, well, when are you going to leave the church? He says, well, I'll never leave the church. I said, well, why not? You just spent the last 2 hours admitting that it's full of corruption and it doesn't have anything at all to do with Christ. He goes, oh, but my family would disown me. So he's in the Catholic Church because of tradition. What did Christ say about those that do that kind of thing because of tradition? Didn't he condemn them?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's in my experience, I find that the what you might call the good Catholics are generally the ones that utterly reject the church, and try and do good things outside of it. You can't put lipstick on a pig and expect it to win the beauty pageant. And you have to get out of it. And there's been some great people that have grown up quote unquote Catholic. They've been saviors of Europe historically, but every single one of them has utterly rejected this BS garbage and pretty much ignore or try and get away from the corruption within the system, because Rome is just, it's just bad. And there's every Catholic I've met is just, it's so utterly like they lack all, common sense, biblically they're the most illiterate, just totally dumb, and because they're taught not to pick up the scripture and read it, because on the one hand, you have to spend your time there and study scripture and use a good lexicon and understand the original text, otherwise you're just going to be taken for a ride, and that's how so many of them have. And so it's really sad,
I was going to say I interviewed a ex Catholic priest who is now identity, but he went through seminary to be a Catholic priest, and one of the things during that interview that struck me as really, really odd is when he told me that the first year he was in seminary, they never opened the Bible the entire year. So I said, well, wait a minute. You were in seminary to be a teacher to the people of God's law and his word, and you spent a year mm-hmm. in that institution and didn't crack the Bible once? I said that should have been a clue. He goes, well, looking back at it, yeah, I guess it should have been because mm-hmm. I didn't think of it then. But that's a, mm-hmm. that's a simple, or not a simple, but that's a sign of what we're talking about here. I mean, it's in plain sight. Mm-hmm. The evidence of what mm-hmm. we're talking about in the criminality, not only of governments, which are beasts, by the way, that's why the Bible calls central government a beast, and government is only there to implement God's law. That's the only legitimate purpose of any government. Mm-hmm. And if they're not doing it, they're mm-hmm. illegitimate, and we should be opposing them in every way imaginable. So, things are starting to come out, and the chasm between, you want to call it the left and the right, or the righteous and the unrighteous, whatever, but that gulf in America between the two sides, and probably even the world, but here in America for sure, you can see that that divide, that great divide between the two camps is huge. Mm-hmm. we've talked about the fact that there's no fence to sit on. And literally, that's coming true, isn't it? The fence is mm-hmm. basically, has practically disappeared. There's no fence to sit mm-hmm. on. You have to be in one camp or the other at this point mm-hmm. in time, don't you think?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. You're either on his on Yahweh's side, or you're not. You know, the fence is gone. I got a. I'd like to read something from. It's an article. It's from Renegade Tribune. It's a quote. It's a talking about America. It's something along the 4th of what they call July, because America's so Jewish controlled. And it's a quote from Hitler, and I'd like to, and it talks about America. And, this is a combination of this is from the Testament of Adolf Hitler, the Hitler Bormann documents. And I'd like to read this to you, and it talks about America, and it kind of illustrates the Zog, control of America. And it says, this is what it says. It says, Germany expects nothing from the United States, and the latter have nothing to fear from Germany. Everything combines to ensure the possibility of peaceful coexistence, each in his own country, and all in perfect harmony. Unfortunately, the whole business is ruined by the fact that world Jewry has chosen just that country in which to set up its most powerful bastion. That and that alone has altered the relations between us and has poisoned everything. I am prepared to wager that well within 25 years, the Americans themselves will have realized what a handicap has been imposed upon them by this parasitic Jewry, clamped fast to the flesh and nourishing itself on their life blood. It is this Jewry that is dragging them into adventures which, when all is said and done, are no concern of theirs, and in which the interests at stake are of no interest to them. What possible reason can the non-Jewish Americans have for sharing the hatreds of the Jews and following meekly in their footsteps? One thing is quite certain. Within a quarter of a century, the Americans will either have become violently anti-Semitic or they'll become devoured by Jewry. If we should lose this war, it will mean that we have been defeated by the Jews. Their victory will then be complete. But let me hasten to add, they will only be very temporary. It will certainly not be Europe which takes up the struggle against them, but it certainly will be the United States. The latter is a country still too young to have acquired the maturity conferred by age and exaggerated lacking in political sense. For the Americans, everything has so far been ridiculously easy. Experience and difficulties will perhaps cause them to mature. Just think for a moment what they were when their country was born. A group of individuals come from all corners of the earth, hastening forward in pursuit of fortune and finding at their disposal a vast continent to appease their hunger and all theirs for the taking. National conscience is a thing which develops very gradually, especially in vast territories such as these. Nor must it be forgotten that these individuals had been drawn from a variety of races and has not yet been fused by the bonds of a national spirit. What an easy prey for the Jews. The excesses in which the Jews indulged in our country are as nothing in comparison with the excesses in which they have indulged and in which they will continue to indulge in ever-increasing measure on their new hunting grounds. It will not be very long before the Americans realize that Roosevelt, whom they have adored as an idol with feet of clay, and that this Jew-ridden man is in reality a malefactor, both from the point of view of the United States and of humanity as a whole. He has dragged them along a path on which they had no business to be, and in particular, he has forced them to take an active part in a conflict that does not concern them at all. Had they possessed even a minimum of political instinct, they would have remained in their splendid isolation, content in this conflict to play the role of arbiter. Had they been a little more mature and a little more experienced, they would doubtless have realized that their best course of their own major interests would have been to have entrenched themselves firmly with their faces towards a shattered Europe and in an attitude of vigilant neutrality. By intervening, they have once again played into the hands of the Jewish exploiters, and the latter have worldly wise and know exactly what they are doing, but of course from their own particular Jewish point of view. At this juncture, it is difficult to say which, from the ideological point of view, would prove to be more injurious to us, Jew-ridden Americanism or Bolshevism. As for the Americans, if they do not swiftly succeed in casting off the yoke of New York Jewry, which has the same intelligence as a monkey that saws through the branch on which it is perching, well, it won't be long before they go under, before even having reached the age of maturity. The fact that they combine the possession of such vast material wealth with so vast a lack of intelligence evokes the image of some child stricken with elephantitis. It may well be asked whether this is not simply a case of a mushroom civilization destined to vanish as quickly as it sprang up, unquote.
And what's that from again, Phil?
That is Adolf Hitler, February 24th and August and April 2nd, 1945, from the Testament of Adolf Hitler, the Hitler-Bormann documents.
Right.
Well, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. As more and more truth comes out, we're finding out that, you know, why the Jews mm-hmm. declared war on Germany and hated the National Socialists. You know, and mm-hmm. here again, why did National Socialism turn Germany around? Because the platform of the National Socialists in Germany was based on Bible principles. I've got a copy that was printed in 1920s when the National Socialist German Workers Party was running, and they were handing the pamphlet out to the people so that they understood what they stood for. And you read through the planks of their party platform, and it's right out of scripture. I mean, far better than England or modern-day Germany or the United States or Canada. They were much closer to biblical law than we are today. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And because of that, they turned around in such a short period of time. And that's why I keep telling people, you know, you've got two choices, ladies and gentlemen. You can keep going the way we're going, which is utter disaster is what's going to happen. Or you can choose to go the way Father wants us to go. You got two paths. You can go the way of the great adversary, or you can go the way of the Creator and do it His way. You got two choices. That's it. Just two. So make up your mind, mm-hmm. folks. You're in one camp or the other. You know, that's why when Bush was the great blasphemer, when he said, "You're either with me or against me," He is in league with Satan. I'm talking about Bush Sr. And how dare he take the words of Christ and apply them to his sorry ass? You're either with me or against me. I'm against you, Georgie boy. You and your despicable son. I'm against every one of you Satan worshipers in Washington. I'm either with you or against you. Well, put me in against you camp, all right? I'm just one little guy sitting out here, but I'm going to tell you, this side's growing. It's growing, and you better be worried. In fact, if you want liberty, folks, what did the Founding Fathers say? When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Why is there no liberty in America? Because the government, the Jewish-controlled government, has no fear of we the people. No fear whatsoever. They're like a spoiled child. They're not afraid of a paddling, so they're going to misbehave and do all kind of things. And so it's time for the administering of the paddle in whatever form it takes.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, there's a complete lack of any kind of discipline in this country. And, you know, from an individual to a, you know, from a national standpoint, and I understand that from some of the extensive stuff I've read, that the powers that be plan that the Second World War will be the last war that the United States ever wins, as we know the United States to be, you know, and that's coming to, you know, to truth. Everything that they're doing is designed to have no final outcome, no victory, and I find it extremely it's very profound about what's happening today. Germany's not even is an occupied country, and I understand Obama gave a speech once in Berlin when he was still president, and he said to the German people, you are an occupied country, and that pretty much it illustrates what's going on. And I also saw an interesting article that said that Puerto Rico, our so-called colony, we are actually a colony of Puerto Rico rather than Puerto Rico a colony of us, because you have the IRS in headquartered there in Puerto Rico. People don't realize that that's where it's actually headquartered at, because they can get away with just about anything, and that the Puerto Ricans come over here, and Puerto Ricans are just, I've never met any Puerto Ricans I like at all. I mean, I'm sure there are a few, but they're notoriously for having a bad attitude and really they come in and colonize our country and they suck our money dry, and we're not allowed to do anything, otherwise they're racist.
Well, you see a pattern developing here. You take a criminal organization like the IRS and they put it in external to the continental United States in Puerto Rico, and so in their pea brains, they think that allows them to be criminals because they're not under the jurisdiction, because they're not here on terra firma in North America. It's the same idea behind the criminals in Washington, D.C., the traitors that allowed the Israelis through Operation Talpiot, and the other operation they had that says that they can spy on us by running all of our telecommunications through Israel. Did you know that? All telephone and computer telecommunications is run through Israel. So they get to hear and spy on every piece of intel leaving and coming into the United States, and these bastards in Washington allowed that to happen. I mean, you talk about criminals. So here again, it's the same idea. Well, we'll put the criminal element over in that bastard nation called It's a Lie, and we'll be outside of the U.S., so therefore the rules don't apply to us. You see how they think just like Jews, don't they? They just think like Jews. You know, our founding fathers said that the wording of a law was not as important as the intent of a law. And our rights to privacy, the intent of the laws guarding our rights, don't get circumvented just because you put your sorry-ass operation over in that litter box over in Palestine. I mean, that's just, it's criminal. I can't wait till we round up these people. I really can't. We've got criminals and traitors and misfits and pedophiles and cannibals and transgender. I mean, it's like somebody opened up the pit to hell. Doesn't that what it feels? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it feels like, Phil? It feels exactly like the scripture says that the gates of hell would be opened, and that's exactly what it seems like today. It's like the Satanists have come off the tracks. They're everywhere, and they're brazen about their criminality and their perversions. It's in your face. I'm telling you, these preachers today are despicable. Absolutely despicable. They've been despicable since abortion was first outlawed, and they gave up. They gave a little bit of a fight in the beginning in the 1970s. I remember I was a young man then. There was a little bit of a fight, but they very quickly acquiesced, and now here we are, what is it, 50-some years later, we've got what, 60? I believe the number is 60 million. 60? Did you listen to what I just said, people? 60 million babies ripped apart and pulled out of their mother's womb. And you think that God is going to bless this nation? You have got to be kidding me. You are dumber than a box of rocks if you think our Heavenly Father is going to bless any organization, any group of people, any nation that says it's okay to butcher 60 million babies. The only other group that comes close to that number is the Jews when they murdered 60 to 100 million Christian men, women, and children in Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. Because the Bolsheviks were Jews. The commissars were Jews. The whole revolution was run with Jewish money out of New York through Jacob Schiff and then up through Canada in Lenin and Trotsky's pockets to come over to Russia and fund the whole Bolshevik massacre of the Tsar's family and of all the intelligentsia, by the way. They didn't stop with the Tsar and Tsarina and their children. They went ahead and murdered all kinds of professors and officers in the White Army because the Red Army was already non-white, but the White Army was resisting the Bolsheviks, and they murdered the best of the white Russians. So that's the way they operate, just like in the United States now, as this thing is starting to be exposed. Who are they throwing under the bus? Didn't we predict that, Phil, on this radio station years ago? We told people, if you're in bed with these Bolshevik Jews in the United States, remember who the first people are that they throw under the bus. It's the white man and woman that helped them come to power, just like they did in Russia. You know, the white Russians that took their money and turned their heads when the Bolsheviks were pulling their red terror and taking over. And then here in the United States, what's happening already? The Jews are starting to throw lesser criminals and lesser bankers. And they just killed those two people in New Jersey. Did you read that article? The house fire in New Jersey where there was a man and woman, an older man and woman, and she was about to testify against the Clinton Foundation for fraud and pharmaceutical fraud because they made, I don't know how many, multiple tens of millions of dollars, maybe even billions of dollars on fraud in the pharmaceutical business, and she was going to testify, and all of a sudden they said it was a mysterious house fire, and you see pictures of it, and that house is gone, completely gone. That's not a house fire. And interestingly enough, earlier that day, they had an appliance delivered. Oh, my God. What's that tell you? It was probably Mossad went in there, shot him dead, and then covered their tracks by planting a bomb in there that completely obliterated the entire house. I mean, not anything.
Oh my
standing.
God!
Okay, and there's and the media, the complicit media, is sitting here going, "Wow, a mysterious house fire, and it was felt miles away." Excuse me, a natural gas fire in a house doesn't explode to where you feel it miles away, but a satchel charged with plastic explosive certainly would, and they made sure they covered it up because after an explosion like that, there's no evidence of the fact they went in there and murdered these two people. because the Mossad was going to make sure that the other Mossad agents, known as the Clintons and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all of the other dual citizenship Israelis that are committing crimes in our country, they were going to make sure that there was nothing left for anybody to investigate. That's how these people operate. You know, and the complicit media, it's just like, you know, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the good news is
journalism is dead.
Yeah, the good news is that the citizens journalists, which is the alt media, which we the people have taken up the job of being investigators, those people are on top of this stuff like crazy. I mean, no sooner did that article come out, and there were all kinds of alternative media putting up the connection of this couple to the Clinton Foundation and everything else. Even Fox News didn't make that connection. They just reported as a mysterious explosion and two people died in the explosion. No, they didn't. They were already dead, you dumbasses. That's how the Mossad works. They were already dead. That bomb was just to cover up their tracks. I mean, come on. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this crap out. People need to wake the hell up. We're already in a war. We're already in a war. People say, well, this could turn to bullets and bloodshed. Nah, it's already a war, people. Wake the hell up. I can't wait till the bad guys start falling over dead. That's my only concern. Why is it always the good people? Like the FBI agent and his wife that died here the other day. You know, he was also an investigator or getting ready to testify. He's dead. Now this couple in New Jersey's dead. When the hell are we going to read about the bastards from It's a Lie falling over from sniper bullets or bombs exploding or whatever? You read about President Putin in Russia, his favorite car and favorite driver gets crashed over on a major highway over there as a warning to him. When are the Rothschilds going to start going down? When is George Soros going to start going down? When are the people like that, the criminals, the child molesters, the people that eat our children in rituals, when are these monsters going to pay the price? How much more innocent blood do we have shed before we wake up, Phil? When are the white men and women, but particularly the white men, they're the soldiers. Scriptures doesn't say that it's the women that have to wake up. It says the men of Yahweh. The men, the sons, not the daughters, the sons. How much more, Phil? That's what I want to know. How much more do we have to see before our sorry, lazy, no good asses wake up? I really want to know.
I think we become the nation of cowards. We're not the home of the brave. As long as we are given our Cheetos, our pizza, and our sports and video games and anything to distract us. We live in a world of a fantasy world, you know, and it's in our society. It's very easy to sit around and dream about things. You can spend all day just dreaming about doing something, you know, about having this or having that, you know, and they're hoping something will happen. One of the things that I hate about just Judeo-Christian nonsense is being perpetrated is that on the one hand I understand that we win in the end, but I hate the idea of actually knowing that we win in the end, in the sense that we just don't have to do anything because it's inevitable that we're going to win, and rather than the consequences of losing. And that's one of the things that concerns me, because so many decent people just don't want to do a damn thing because it's inconvenient for them, or they might rock the voters. Someone might call them a name. Oh, God forbid that happens. You know, you get called a name. And as a consequence, this enemy, this evil entity that's trying to destroy everything it has its way, and it's all about the shekels. It's all about, you know, it's Hollywood. It's all this stuff. I mean, we gave that damn litter box over there. why don't we send them over there? Well, if we do that, well, that's racist. Well, I thought that was their home. That was supposed to be their home, away from home. Why don't we just send them there, you know? And then God will protect them, won't he? But no, we have to, you know, we have to control every little aspect of every part of this country and every country on the planet. And you just hope something happens. You want something to happen, you know. When are these evil entities just going to die? I mean, you know, it gets mind numbing at times. It really does. I don't know what's going to happen. I listened to an interview with Mike Walsh today on Andy Hitchcock's show, and he was talking about that over in England, you know, that the amount of euthanizing that they're doing over there is ridiculous. And they're killing people off left and right. I think he said something like people that have serious health issues, like 27%, they're just actually just killing, they're literally killing them off, you know. And he was saying, you know, this idea of euthanizing people in Germany was a lie under Hitler. And he, Mike Walsh, he's in Spain where they had absolutely no government. You know, and he had a heart attack a couple years ago, and he was treated like he had the best treatment you could imagine. But if he was over in England, they probably would have killed him. He probably would be dead. Because they're just killing people off left and right in order to save the welfare state. And allow all these muds to come in and destroy London and everything else. There's got to be people hanging from a rope. I just want to see one damn bastard, you know, real crook, just forget about this prison crap. Just put him, you know, hang him from a rope and get it over with, because that's the only way you're going to end it. And if they don't fear the enemy, you know, then they're not going to fear anything. Nietzsche, by the way, Friedrich Nietzsche, the famous German philosopher, famously said, and he has a short book called The Beyond Good and Evil. He pointed out that it's not so much the action that the idea that what's good and bad is an action, is a new idea. It was really based upon who said it. You know, that's what made what was right right and what's wrong wrong. It wasn't the action itself. It was who said it. And scripture is, you know, we all know that's godly. That's from Yahweh himself. That's the creator. You do that way or you're going to screw up. And this is why you can't have an argument with some stupid liberals, because he doesn't understand the difference between executing somebody and murder. It's just a dead person. There's no difference. So I can't get my mind around someone who's that dumb, that doesn't understand that execution is mandated. It's not something you want to do, but you have to do. You know, it's just like warfare. If you had a landing craft, you know, landing on Iwo Jima, Normandy, and you gave an interview to all those Marines or soldiers and said, "Hey guys, we're going to take a vote here. How many of you want to go back to Kansas? If you want to go back to Kansas, you can go back to Kansas, or you can hit the beach and get shot at and try and kill your racial brothers in Germany or the Japanese or whatever. Which would you rather do? Would you like to go back to Germany? Or would you like to go back to Kansas and just live on your farm? Sure. Okay. We're going to turn around and go. Did they want to go there? No, they sure as heck didn't want to go hit the beach. They would much rather go home, but they didn't have the option. They had to do that because that's why we pay homage to soldiers. And that's why they're so loved by people who appreciate what they do, because they're doing something that they don't want to do. Declaring war. Yeah, they're taking a risk, and they could get shot at, they get their arm blown off, and you know, God knows what else could happen to them, you know. It's not the tiddlywinks. It's not playing a video game. It's the real thing. You can't rationalize with libtards that are just beyond stupid. I was getting rid of my cable. I was talking to this lady on the phone. And she wanted me to switch to switched to one of their services, and I asked her. I said, "We have this local news channel called Bay News 9, okay?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Does your cable service have Bay News 9?" And what did this girl who obviously was black ask me? How do you spell that? Bay News 9. Okay, if you have to ask that, we have a problem, okay? Just go back to Africa. I just can't take it. You know, I'm like, holy cow. You know?
Well, it's, we don't want to make fun, but then again, you know, we're dealing with reality. You have to be a pragmatist at some point. You know, worrying about other people's feelings just because you're telling the truth is ridiculous. It's gotten us into a lot of trouble. I've said for years and years and years, affirmative action and political correctness are two of the worst things that ever happened to America. We should never, ever fall in for the folly of that. It's just complete hogwash. You know, the truth stands on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. And that's exactly what has been going on. We've been promoting lie after lie after lie by the force of government. And we forgot that we're supposed to be believers, which means that our Father in heaven is our commander, not a bunch of men and women sitting in Washington, D.C. or in Tallahassee. That's bullshit. Those people are servants. And they're only servants so long as they adhere to the restraints of the state and federal constitutions. That's why they take an oath of office. It's that simple, people. Why do you think they take the oath? All right? Our founding fathers set it up that they're under oath, which means if they violate it, that's treason. They took an oath. Mm-hmm. If they violate the oath and remain in uniform or remain in office, that is tantamount to treason. I'm telling you, I'm seeing signs of the wake up everywhere, Phil, and I'm also seeing signs that people can sense something's big about to happen. Something really, really big is on the horizon. They can't put their head around it. They can't put their arms around it just yet. But lots of people that I consider on YouTube and Steemit and all that, some of the more serious, down-to-earth, rock-solid, salt-of-the-earth spiritual people are all saying the same thing. They can sense the severity of the time period which we're in. Would you agree with that assessment?
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. Yeah, I would. And the only reason why our brothers and sisters are able to be brainwashed into helping these racial aliens is because they're sacrificing their children, both literally and what the future generations, they're sacrificing every single thing they can on this crony capitalism and stuff to, you know, and in order to maintain what lifestyle they have, and since we're not having enough children, there's no alternative but to make things worse. You know, you have the Jewish media loves to promote the sodomites. They love these freaking queers everywhere. And I remember watching a report on, I think it was Fox Business. This may have been 8-10 years ago, and they were like loving gays because we need to market more to gays because gays have inherently don't have any children, therefore they have more disposable income, you know, and so now we can market to them. But other businesses that do market to children, like Toys R Us and Babies R Us, have gone belly up. They're closing down, you know, and because that's for kids, and they're not about to promote to gays because it wouldn't be in their best interest. So you're having companies going after, you know, going to the lowest common denominator in order to get a buck, and I think something's gonna, you know, I think something's gonna happen big time, and if we didn't have this usury monetary system, we wouldn't be having this. We wouldn't have you know, girls wanting to be sugar babies, you know, and having some rich daddy pay for everything, you know, and mm-hmm. you wouldn't have, you know, you have families, and you have, you know, you have the structure of the family unit, and you'd have a nation. One of my friends in college is so brainwashed by everything. He thinks that the cause of all the world's problems is nationalism. He says, "Oh, they cause all the wars." I said, "No, it's these damn Jewish communists that do it." Nationalism preserves everything you have around you. It preserves your laws. It preserves your culture. It preserves your race. It preserves your tradition. It preserves your right to life. As a person, it preserves every single thing that you have that you hold dear. Is based around nationalism, and it, when you have internationalism, anything goes. You cannot be critical of anything, whether you're a witch doctor or a Satanist or whatever.
Right. Well, it goes back to the definition of nation. You know, we ceased being a nation when we ceased sharing a common heritage, a common language, a common religion, a common race, and common culture. You have to have all those things in common, which means the same. When you don't, you become an empire, and empires never survive because of the internal conflict. The only way you have peace mm-hmm. and prosperity for any group of people is to be a nation, the very word nation itself. And those things have to be in common. You can't mix it. This whole idea that diversity is a strength is a communist lie to set you up so that the communists can take you down just like they did the poor Russian people. Okay, that's why the communists aren't doing well. The Jews in Russia aren't doing well. The Jews in Eastern Europe have been outed for being the troublemakers that they have for so long. One of my lady friends, Barbara Ann, is Polish, and she has been a guest once or twice talking about the Polish history. I think it's from like 1045 or 1066 up until the modern era, where they were under Jewish domination, the Polish people. They went in and murdered many of the finest Poles so that they could take over. Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah, that's right, Russia. So, and here again, getting back to the book I just got on the Black Plague, they show a map, which you can go online and find it. It shows the progress year by year of the plague through Eastern and Western Europe. And there's only one spot on the whole map that the legend says little to no effect on this area. And guess where it was? Poland, the headquarters of Jewry in Europe. That was the only place virtually unaffected by the plague, which was poison put by Jews in the watering systems of Europe and the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. and yet they didn't poison their own wells. Imagine that. So here again, the proof's out there. You just have to keep an open eye. You know, it's just like who we are, the Israelites, the true Israelites. If you read the books by E. Raymond Capt, Stephen Collins, Dr. Barry Fell, there's some more modern ones. These guys did it years ago. But if you read their books and they trace the Israelites, they're easy to find through history. In fact, Stephen Collins makes comment of this. I believe E. Raymond Capt and Barry Fell do the same. They make comments in the introduction of their books where they talk about the fact that this information is known by academia, but they will not teach it. They will not teach it. They know we are the Israelites of old. They know we've been all over the earth for thousands of years. The evidence is everywhere. Up around Lake Michigan, when I worked up there, I lived up there for 10 years. The Israelites came here in huge trireme ships and carried virtually every ounce of copper ore out of the shores of Lake Superior and took it back to the Mediterranean. That's how good mm-hmm. they were at it. 3,500 years ago, they were that good at finding and mining copper from the lakes. There's almost no copper up there left. And they did that 3,500 years ago. So, you know, this idea that we don't know who we are, we don't know this, that's all bullcrap, it's all propaganda, and it's time to put the bullcrap aside. I'm hoping, Phil, that this is the year that Bill Holter declared 2018 will be the year that truth matters. What do you think? Is this going to be the year for the average white man and woman and all the other races too? Is this finally going to be the year when people take the propaganda and throw it off into the trash bin where it belongs, and truth matters?
I hope so. I think the fact that Trump has pardoned those guys and done some things, I think that's a good sign. I would also like to point out that his appointment of this Jesuit to the Supreme Court is definitely not his fault, so to speak. He has a select choice of who he's allowed to put on the Supreme Court. He can't simply pick them, just like when the president appoints the head of the Federal Reserve System. People think the president does that. He does not. He's given a select choice of who he can pick, and then he chooses them. This guy actually may be the best of the bunch. Because you know that the enemy, the leftists have already got their speeches written for whoever the hell it is that he chose, and there were like five of them, and so he's as much of a puppet in this game as anything, and I have noticed that every president that's been elected for a very long time, when they're elected, they age extremely rapidly. So, and I don't know any sane person that would want that position, because they know that it's just
your life is in constant danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just from people outside the United States, but more so from people inside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I told the story about a good friend of mine down here in Florida. His cousin was a U.S. representative from Louisiana, and he only served 1 year, and he came home and said, "I got out before they do to me and my family what they've done to everybody else in Washington." And he told my friend the story about the day that Dick Cheney came in and put a piece of paper in front of him and said, "Here's the bill that's coming up, and here's how you're going to vote." They're criminals.
Mm-hmm.
They're criminals. People have to understand, we have the power. We have the numbers, we have the weapons, and even more importantly, we have the moral high ground here. These bastards don't deserve to be sitting in positions of any kind of authority. We need to realize they have no authority over us. Our Heavenly Father has the authority over us. These people are criminals. They are outlaws, okay? An outlaw has no legitimate right to do anything to us, to make law, or to enforce anything. They are outlaws. That's what the word outlaw means. They're outside the boundaries of the law, in this case, the Constitution. They swore an oath to uphold it. That means they swore an oath that they would live by the restraints. The restraints of the Constitution are for our public servants, not for you and me, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think they can get away with anything because, you know,
When's the day of the rope? When's the day of the rope? When is the day of the rope?
I got one right here, okay? So I hope it's tomorrow morning, but, you know, and there's a nice tree over here that could use a little fertilizer, so
well,
I'm hoping it's very soon, and because it needs to happen, and because it's just the utter wickedness is getting so bad, I think it's coming here really, really soon because the enemy is becoming more and more bolder. You know, there's no more need for the most subtle beast of the field to be subtle anymore. He's out in front. He's showing his fangs. And it's time to take the hammer and crush his head.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It's that picture of the Archangel Michael when he's got his shield and he's got a big two-handed sword and he's putting it right down through the head of the serpent. That's what we need. We need the Archangel. We need the white knights, the real white knights, the men of Yahweh, to take a stand and say, I've had enough of this serpent and his nonsense. There's been too much innocent blood already shed. Enough of this Satanism, enough of this garbage. The people say, well, Satan's the king of this world. That's only because you've been sitting back allowing him to rule. He wasn't given dominion. Mm-hmm. You were. That's why Christ said, occupy until I get back. Occupy. That's a military term. Occupy. You don't just back off and let Satan get away with it. That's ridiculous. We've been anesthetized mentally, and the number one culprit, I know the Jews have done a lot, but the number one culprit is the poison behind the pulpit in our churches. That's the number one culprit. The preachers, and that's why there is a double curse in Scripture by the Father against the lying dogs that stand behind these pulpits teaching the doctrines of devils instead of the raw truth of our Heavenly Father. They have a double curse on their head. In fact, there's one Scripture that says their own parents will help hunt them down. That's how much we're going to hate them for their lies and their deceptions that have led the sheep to the slaughter, have led the sheep into two major world wars, had led the sheep into Desert Storm in Afghanistan and Iraq. All these wars, all this bloodshed, all of the abortions, all of the children that have gone missing can be laid at these lying bastards called preachers telling us that Satan's kids are God's chosen people. Because they're behind it all, Phil. Christ said it. If you don't want to believe the Bible, folks, you should burn it. But it says right in there that they were guilty for all of the innocent blood shed. That's the words of your Messiah. So either you're a believer or you're not. You got to stop being hypocrites, people. If you're not going to believe the words of Christ when he said these people were guilty of all the innocent blood, well, then you need to stop pretending and just burn your damn Bible. And stop pretending and going to that whitewashed sepulcher called a church. It's full of dead men's bones, just like a coffin. That's all. There's no life in it. That's why we got all these churches, and we're still the most immoral nation that existed. We're violating more of God's law than even ancient Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we had the Reformation. You know, we had to break up with the hideous Catholic Church, and interestingly enough, during that period of time, or prior to that, during the Middle Ages, the Church, the agents in the Vatican would send their bishops and preachers, to the various churches, and they didn't know crap about anything. Some of them were as little as 10 years old, literally. And they would be put these positions. They were literally puppets, and all they did was answer the word. They didn't know anything about anything biblical or anything period. And they just were a servant. And then this is what caused so many, particularly in Northern Europe, because it was so far away from Rome, to get utterly pissed off that they're being told lies. And so they cast off the hideousness of Catholicism, and now we've basically gone full circle, and we have a unity of purpose where every stinking church has basically become Jude. It's just, it doesn't matter. You're wearing the yarmulke, whether you're on the outside, you got it on, whether you can see it or not. And we're going to kiss for the shekels, and we're going to love everyone. We're gonna sacrifice our own dignity for the sake of this nonsense, this lie, and so many of them are make a mockery of it. They're literally just I mean, I had it. My last church I went to, the guy literally was just like, I'm just a complete idiot. I don't know anything, you know? And, and he left it. He left the church because he had some job to go to, you know, he got offered to do ministry between all these different churches in Maine. That was his home state. And so he could just go give a little talk to make everybody feel good. It's all about making people feel good. I told him, I said, you never teach about the law. You never teach about the law, you know, and he says, well, I do sometimes. He says, you have a Filipino Appreciation Day. You have all these blacks coming. You know, you're upset that the your biggest problem with churches is that they have black churches and white churches. I said, my God, that's the one thing you're supposed to have. And, so that's just, I told my, I just, I couldn't, I lost it. I just like, this yeah. is just a waste of my time.
Yeah. We got a caller here real quick, Phil. Let me see. Gary?
Gary, you want to talk? Gary? Pastor, just mute us right now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, Phil, if you had anything more, if you could do the star six or press the Q&A button on the keyboard. That's the only bad thing about the question and answer mode is you can't just go back and forth between two people. You have to signal me that you want to be back on. But anyway, we're at the hour and a half mark here, so it's time to wrap it up anyway. If you're still listening there, Phil, thanks a lot for calling in. And you know, folks, these are perilous times. There's no doubt about that. So you got to stay close to the Father. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You got to stay close to the Father. Stay in prayer. Stay in study. Trust your gut. Trust your spiritual connection to the Father, because there are a lot of liars and a lot of misinformation out there. Tons of it. But the Holy Spirit's true, and the book tells us the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. But you got to have the Holy Spirit, and you have to have some quiet time to spend with Father. Me personally, I think the Scripture talks about that we praise the Father on our beds. That's a great place to do it. First thing in the morning and the last thing at night. Take some time to just lie there in solitude and quiet and contemplation and have a conversation with our Father and listen to what He tells you. Mm-hmm. All right? It'll work. Yeah, you're back on, Phil. Did you have anything more before we shove off for the night?
Well, I'd just like to give a quote I like from General Stonewall Jackson. He says that my faith teaches me that I should be as comfortable in the battlefield as I am in bed. And that pretty much explains it. And we all, you know, every generation has its battles to fight. And ours, you know, we have the enemy has lifted its ugly head, and we are seeing it being with all its hideousness right in front of us. And I praise this program, and I praise your listeners and my fellow believers, because it strengthens me in a time of great challenge. And it prioritizes my life, and it gets me closer to my Father, and I'm eternally grateful for that.
Yeah, and I would also remind the folks that in my darkest days of trial and tribulation, the Psalms and the Proverbs were great, great sources of strength and resolve. And particularly for you men, I want to highly recommend that you read Psalm 91 as often as you can. And you might want to consider Psalm 149 along with it. Those two Psalms are going to tell you a lot about what's about ready to happen and where we are as men in His service. So please keep that in mind. So, Phil, thanks for calling in, buddy. I appreciate it. And as always, you bring a lot to the table, and it's much appreciated.
Thank you. Yahweh bless you and all your listeners. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care, and Yahweh bless. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you for this opportunity to share and to be together as a family. We know many of the folks listen to the download later on. And so this word goes out as a blessing to everybody. We ask the soldier's ransom be paid, the $1 for Yahweh's service. for each and every soldier of Yahweh. We also thank the prayer warriors that kept the couple up in Illinois that are fighting cancer. I got two messages from them yesterday and one today saying that great progress has been made. Hallelujah. The natural path is able to help them. There has been a spiritual awakening. There has been a confession of the soul, which is getting dark things out, spiritually dark things out. And the powers that be that were resistant to helping them accomplish their goals in this fight, so far they have been overcome. There have been angels that have been administering to them to overcome the bureaucrats that are not wanting to assist them the way they want. So we give Yahweh praise and glory for that. And we just know that, again, as these dark days are around us, don't let them overcome you, ladies and gentlemen. You're part of a family, a very important family of people upon the earth. Read our history. Study the history of the Adam race, the Adamic race, and what we've accomplished, who we really are. Don't listen to the propagandists and the revisionists that have tried to play down our race and our accomplishments. We are the children of Yahweh. We are the Israelites of the Bible, and it's been proven over and over and over again. And deep inside you, you should know that. So, Father, lift us up and be sending the Holy Spirit on all of our children, all of our people, all over the earth. Lift them up, bless them, anoint them, and via the Holy Spirit, let them know that your love is there. That's why you came down and put on flesh and suffered that terrible death, to pay for our sins and to show just how much you care for us as a people. We are not going to disappear from this world. We are not going to allow the enemy to win this battle. So bless us, forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, and always we ask that you would protect us from our enemies as we go forward. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.